difficult to support in its current form. With the changes we have proposed, we believe the interests of all parties are protected while at the same time afford the commissioner the discretion he is entitled under current statute. Unocal already has in place a vehicle under current statute to address the concerns of its marginal fields in Cook Inlet as they reach their economic limit. Albeit not an ideal vehicle, at least one which is less onerous than that which is proposed. Although we like the ability to expand the applicability of the statute and eliminate the requirement for a subjective, reasonable rate of return determination, the potential for increased royalty beyond that which was originally agreed and an arbitrary floor placed on the amount royalty may be reduced eliminates flexibility and hurts our efforts towards field life extension in Cook Inlet. We look forward to working with the legislature as this bill progresses through the legislative process, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you, Mr. Tabler.
Just before we go on, I just want to verify whether there is anybody online that has not signed up to testify. Just make sure that, according to my information, there's nobody there. And for the record, I'd like to show that Mr. Rick Smith of Vico had been in attendance to testify and had to leave the Anchorage LIO. So for the record there. Going on, I'll open up with a couple questions here. And you refer to this vehicle under current statute. What are you referring to there?
Well, it's our interpretation that the current statute and regulations provide the mechanism for the commissioner to reduce royalty down to zero if need be. If requested, an applicant would request, and of course a determination be made that it's in the best interest of the state.
If I understand your testimony, you're saying that the existing J provision,
that's correct,
is would be more favorable than the new J one as proposed by the governor.
Yes.
That's your testimony.
That's correct. As I see this, and
now, right, yeah.
If I understand the bill as proposed on page 3, the language for the reasonable rate of return language would be eliminated, and you would impose that the commissioner may not grant a reduction of more than 75% on a lease that's prior to 1979. With an existing 12.5% royalty, a 75% reduction would bring you down to 3.125% royalty, which under current, as we view this, we can go down to a zero royalty,
right,
and in some cases may be warranted.
Right, in other words, Section 1 and its other attributes create an artificial floor there that would be meaningful to your economic interest.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct. In some cases, that's right.
Just for information, the chair has taken due note of that and will intend to do something about it in the future. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate your testimony, and it all made sense. The only thing that's confusing gets to be the bottom line, which sounds like your position is that you want the commissioner to have discretion to go down from your existing, from the starting royalty rate, but you don't want them, if the various other conditions change or the market factors go up, you don't want them to have discretion to go up. That it's basically, from your point of view, only one direction.
Partially correct, partially not. It may not have been clear in my testimony. What the intent of that was is that we've created three mechanisms in which you can apply for a royalty reduction. One is a delineated field not previously produced, producing fields or existing fields, and then those which are shut in. What I'm advocating is that there may be application for a sliding scale or whatever mechanism of royalty that would apply to a delineated, not yet previously produced. I think it's unrealistic to think that this great windfall and these exhausted 30-some plus year fields are going to yield the types of magnitude of additional production that's going to warrant a royalty increase. Therefore, the uncertainty on our part as a producer in the Cook Inlet is that right now we currently would have, or the uncertainty is that as I read the bill, there is unilateral authority for the commissioner to raise it above and beyond 12.5, which is what we originally agreed to. Therefore, you may not wish to even apply for a royalty reduction if you don't know the uncertainty is that he may increase it. a new administration, a new commissioner, new interpretation of the regulations and rules.
Mr. Finkelstein.
Just to explain my question, though, you're saying you wouldn't want to take the risk, but of course, the state's got to take a risk, too, mm-hmm. in lowering the rate because the price of oil may go up again. And I agree with you, it may be in some of the fields you're talking about, it may be unlikely that that's going to go up enough to allow the commissioner to justify increasing the royalty significantly. But there, who knows what the future is going to hold. I mean, I'm certain we could find a case where the price of oil or other factors would be go up enough that you could justify a significant increase in the royalty. And since you'd already gained the benefit of the dropping mm-hmm. royalty, it would seem to be just fair play.
Yeah, I'm suggesting that there's a difference between we need to recognize the difference between these exhausted fields and, you know, new technology, horizontal drilling, maybe some new technique may make you the ability to recoup more of that oil that we couldn't have. And I recognize that, but he would then have the ability to raise the royalty back up to the original 12.5% is what we're saying for those fields. For the delineated, not yet previously produced fields, I would think that it would be a very easy matter that if an applicant came in and applied for royalty reduction, at that point in time, you would negotiate on what basis you would have an increase in royalty in the future. If price, if you want to use production, any number of factors that you come up with. But that way the applicant knows and he can plan. You don't commit manpower and capital investment, corporate planning. You know, we're having to keep these properties in Alaska are having to compete globally. And it's if you don't know, we're trying to eliminate some of the uncertainty is what I'm suggesting. And that the negotiation take place when at the time that you've asked for the royalty reduction.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
Yes, this is very new to me, and I see the commissioner back there and his counterpart. And I was wondering, Mr. Chairman, if we could get the commissioner to comment on these conclusions and
yes, sir. This is our intention to get him up here. If we can
also, if you could explain a little bit about the peer review concept of.
But there, yes, there was quite a bit of discussion I've heard over last Thursday and last Tuesday's testimony regarding the review process and the oversight process. And what I've been suggesting is what we do internally at UNICAL is no project gets forwarded or moved on without a peer review. A peer review of and what I mean by a peer review would be of a sister agency. It could be a royalty board, it could be AOGCC, it could be whatever is determined to be not having oversight or approval or denial, but just confirmation. Therefore, that confirming that you haven't given away the farm, that type of process, a peer review, not an oversight review, if you will.
Mr. Chairman, I'm really concerned right now, and we're right at the verge of starting drafting a CS here, and one of the concerns I have right now, and I appreciate your input on this, is the point you make about the monumental difference between mature fields and the new fields. And before you were not here, unfortunately, Representative Green did give us his presentation on 209. He also showed the audience and the committee two graphs showing the downside. We're used to seeing the upside, mm-hmm. but also this as they apply to older fields. Part of his testimony is that he wants to require 2 years of prior investment and production history from an existing field in the application. Is that, have you got a chance to look at that bill, and how do you feel about that particular?
We have looked at the bill, and our feelings are that we like the ability, the flexibility that's granted the commissioner under the existing 207 as proposed to be able to evaluate and let the companies go in with their data and make an independent analysis as to on an individual field-by-field basis rather than predetermining a requirement at this point, because there are unique fields, there are unique circumstances in individual fields. Not all are alike.
Well, I think we're aware of that, but my concern right now is we're trying to do a one-size-fits-all bill here, mm-hmm. new and old, and I'm not sure that there are not certain circumstances or criteria that we may want to have statutorily memorialized here that differentiates some of this. I mean, and that's what I'm kind of driving at. And do you see any particular, for example, you've testified to concerns about the reopeners or the commissioner's ability to increase royalties under this proposed legislation. And it's clear that the state needs that protection because of price increases or other, fortuitous circumstances like greater reserves being discovered. So, but clearly that doesn't come into play necessarily in an older, mature field. So, would you prefer to see another bill or a section of the bill with certain criteria that related specifically to overlooked fields that may differentiate that?
I think that there's enough flexibility that can be drawn from at least from the language that I would propose in here to apply to in one bill. Do we have time to have another bill make it through and the review and exhaustive process that it's gone through already? I think that our only concern is that for shut-in wells and for the delineated producing fields today, the older marginal fields, that there's a cap put on back that if you get a reduction that you can't have an increase beyond what originally was under the lease term, which is the 12.5% and predominantly in our fields. We just don't think it's realistic to think that you're going to have this huge upside.
Well, if we put a provision in that said that in the fields that are 35 years or older, the commissioner's ability to we couldn't exceed their bargain for existing royalty or something. I mean,
what I would suggest then is that in if we couldn't have a cap on it back up to the original, that at the time of reduction, as I mentioned, for a delineated not previously produced, apply the same criteria that you negotiate under what circumstances you're going to increase it in the future. Is I making sense?
Probably, but I'm not quite tracking with you.
We come in, we make an application for a reduction in royalty. Mm-hmm. We're granted a royalty relief. We then have, because of technology or something else, it's determined that, there's really some upside here. At the time you ask for royalty relief, you then sit down and determine what the criteria is going to be, very strict criteria, for a royalty increase in the future. That's what I'm suggesting, is that process take place right then and there, not 5 years down the road, and then you get a letter in the mail, and it's determined that we're going to have an increase in royalty. Because we've already committed the manpower and the capital and the people and invested in that. The only way a lot of these fields are being produced today, the more green or the more dollars you put in the ground, the more black or oil that comes out. And you're going to limit your investments if there's uncertainty as to what the margins, they're very narrow margins today as they are.
Right. In light of the time right now, I'd like to, if we could get the commissioner and Mr. Boyd to come up right now, if we could hold, we're going to hold over here and we're going to go on until they throw us out of here.
I apologize,
but if we could, I know you have some information you want to bring forward here, and then we have to leave. I thank you for your patience, sir, and if you have some further information to give to the committee, we'd be happy to hear that. And it's the chairman's intent right now to go past noon if we can, because I want to make sure we get this testimony. I appreciate if anybody has to leave or has other appointments.
Send me by yourself.
Well, I might be. I'll be starving to death, but my body can take it.
Mr.
Mr. Shively.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Shively. I'm Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. I have with me Ken Boyd, our Acting Director of the Division of Oil and Gas. I'd like to clarify something because I think the testimony from UNICAL was a little, there was some confusion. The legislation as it's written says that we may condition a reduction in royalty with an increase or other conditions. To me, that has always meant that it is just what UNICAL has asked for. They know up front what the deal is. There is no unilateral right in this legislation for me to come along or some successor of mine and say 10 years from now, we want the royalty to go to 20%. That's not the way the legislation is written. It's not the intent. I think could easily be clarified if people are uncomfortable with it, with legislative intent language. There'd be no reason to even have this legislation if the commissioner could unilaterally raise the royalty rate. I mean, nobody would take that kind of deal, and we know that. And so it's always been our intent that when the applicant comes in, we would negotiate when the royalty went down and when it went up. And I would submit, Mr. Chairman, that although things may be slightly different for marginal fields, we still don't know what will happen. What happened in the 70s with OPEC was a major, relatively quick increase that lasted over a long period of time. And if you went into a royalty reduction right before an event like that, and the prices changed significantly, and we had given the industry a benefit in the royalty, then I think we have the right to get a benefit for us on the other side, and we would be opposed to capping the royalty at the old level. This is part of a negotiated deal, and if we can't negotiate a deal that is acceptable to the company, of course there won't be a royalty reduction and it won't go forward. But I don't think the companies have any risk here at all. That's my opinion. Okay. They will know the deal up front.
Well, it's line 23 of page 3 where it says including increasing or otherwise modifying the state's royalty share. I think that's what he's concerned about, but I appreciate what you just said, and I agree with you that we have to have this ability to go back in a form of reopener or whatever mechanism we have. But on the other hand, there's a concern he has, and I appreciate that. That's why I was trying to see if there's a way we can make a distinction between new and old fields there, if that was broken.
I don't think it's broken. I think it says, the legislation says the commissioner may condition a royalty reduction granted under this subsection in a way necessary to protect the state best interests, including increasing or otherwise modifying. That's conditioning it. That means you got to do it up front. A condition of a reduction is part of the reduction. It is part of the deal.
And for a mature field arrangement,
give me a cert to the company.
I think there has been some discussion of changing may to shall, because people wanted to make sure that we did take these things into account, even if we determined, as we might, that there wasn't a reason to increase. Although under certain conditions, certainly price increases, I can't imagine that we would not have a way to increase.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Commissioner, and yesterday I think it was indicated that you hadn't been approved of that, and so I might ask you now what you think of that change from May to shall.
That's fine.
Okay. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the interpretation of this, you still see, this is a question, are there still two ways that this could be done? One is to actually put into the reduction the exact conditions that are going to occur, a sliding scale or something that says the royalty goes up so much if the price goes up so much. Or couldn't you also have in there just a reopener provision that is, you have the right to increase if such thresholds are made without actually saying what the increase is?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you could have as part of the grant of reduction the fact that there would be a reopener under certain conditions. If you couldn't agree, as a minimum, the royalty rate would go back to what it originally was. You try to agree on something else. Trying to predict particularly for the marginal fields, 10, 15, 20 years in the future may be difficult. For the shut-in and abandoned fields, you probably have a little bit better prediction ability, although, as Mr. Feinberg pointed out, due to technology and other things, fields have tended to last, fortunately for all of us, including the industry, longer than people originally anticipated.
Well, do you see any way that, other than maximum flexibility, that you could overcome Mr. Tabler's concern about this?
I intend to talk to Mr. Tabler. I believe we have overcome his concern. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe the legislation is not written the way he thinks it is. It was never our intent for us to have a unilateral right to call up anybody one day and say your royalty rate is hereby raised. That it has to be part of the agreement. That the only way a future commissioner could raise the rate is if it was part of the whole agreement that would come about as the result of the royalty reduction, and they would know the conditions under which the royalty would be raised when they started, which is what he asked for, as I understand. He was not necessarily opposed to the rate going up, but he didn't want it to be a surprise, and he wanted to know when and why it would happen, and I think that's fair. And I think if it's not clear in the legislation, that we can fix that with legislative intent language. But it is that's the way I read the legislation.
And just in order to save some time right now, the references as regard to hiring a consultant and so forth that we've heard from Mr. Johnson and also confirmed by Mr. Cabot this morning, is the chairman's intent to incorporate that into our CS. And I'd like to, if the commissioner thinks that's appropriate.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the suggestion of having the department choose three consultants and having the industry pick one of ours and then pay them and have them carry out the work. We would also, of course, define the scope of work, and I think and it's very important that we define not only who the three are, but what the scope of work we expect. That may not be as cheap as the industry would like it, but we have to define the scope of work. If we do that, we think that gets at this problem of them having a consulting firm that's totally unacceptable to them, and we would accept such an amendment.
And we'd appreciate some help in the language in that regard.
Mr. Chairman, well, on that point, I still see that as problematic. The contractor's going to work for the industry, and in our previous testimony, the impression I got was that as far as the department would be willing to go is to give them one veto over who the department is using. Because these folks, there is any time you've got someone paying somebody else, there's a relationship there that isn't a relationship with the department.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Representative Finkelstein, as a result of the discussion, we've gone back and looked at a couple things. One, a decision that was made out in Good News Bay on a platinum mine, and also looking at the system that the federal government uses for EISs, and this is precisely the system they use. So there's, I think, a good precedent for it, and although it is different than the earlier testimony, I agree with that. We think that it meets the high standards that need to be met in order for the state's interest to be protected.
Chairman, doesn't concern you at all that this person who's helping the state make a best interest finding is going to be a contractor of the oil companies, paid directly by the oil companies and not paid by the state?
Mr. Chairman Finkelstein, as I said, as long as we define the scope of work and these are professional firms that we've picked, the answer to that question is no. If there were any firms coming from anywhere and we could not define the scope of work, I would have grave concern.
In the interest of time, we can, I'd like to move on and maybe revisit that.
Right, if I could just state the record, I'm concerned.
So. Okay. I appreciate that, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Finkelstein.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, excuse me, Representative Williams, sir.
Could I ask you what your thoughts are on the peer review concept?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Williams, we are willing to work with the committee and the committee substitute to find some kind of peer review. We think that perhaps the royalty board is appropriate. I think we've expressed some interest in that before. There The ARCO testimony, I think, has suggested that maybe through the Attorney General's office, which could be done either by one of their staff or by them appointing a hearing officer. We also, though, would suggest that in doing that, that the peer review, whatever it is, be a review of the process to make sure that the commissioner followed the process that was spelled out here, that they found that there was a delineated feeler pool, that he found that there was economic reason for the reduction of royalty, and that he found it was in the best interest of the state. If we're second-guessing the economics of the decision, then it's going to be a fairly costly provision, and that we would also suggest that there be a time limit on any review.
Yes, I guess my interpretation of peer review is somebody that's in the business of the oil companies and that know what specifically is happening in that area. I'm not an expert in that area, and I would like to be able to get someone that is an expert with that is totally outside of the state of Alaska. We may not be in the same position as we are today with having you as a commissioner. We may be in a position of where the state doesn't want to open up any more fields, and we as a legislature get this report back from the DNR stating that we're not going to accept any more these projects, and we're concerned. So what do we do? You know, how do we address that? It's non-appealable according to the way that the bill is written. And so we're sitting here on our hands, not being able to do anything about it. I would like to be able to go to a peer review committee or however it may be. I think we should do it like in the Timorness. You get scientific people on both sides of it and that know and understand the issues, and they're the peer review. We listen to that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Williams, of course, I mean, if you want a whole second decision-making process, then the state's going to have to either be willing to pay for that, or the industry's going to have to be willing to pay for it, because there is not the capacity within government at this point to do a total in-depth economic review. There is the capacity in government in what I would consider peer review, and I think either the ARCO or the UNICAL person talked about their internal peer review, so someone else with similar knowledge double-check their decisions. I think there is capacity to make sure that the commissioner carried out the intent of the law in terms of the process as it was envisioned by the legislature. And I think we can write that into the legislation, and we're, Mr. Chairman, we're certainly willing to work with you.
Follow up on that point, Mr. President Williams, I know in conversations in the last few days, there's been some criticism as brought forward by ARCO and my discussions with the director regarding using the AOAGC. AOAGC.
AOAGC.
Right, that's the one. Mm-hmm. As the peer review function, and then you just mentioned this morning the Royalty Board. I'd like to get your comments about what your position is on the Conservation Commission vis-a-vis the Royalty Board, vis-a-vis another third party. I think the new third board you just mentioned would be a burden economically, and we'd be setting up more bureaucracy and all that kind of stuff. I don't think I personally want to pursue that, so if you could comment on that right now, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, we think that there's some potential conflicts with the AOGCC because of their responsibilities. Also, I don't think they really have the capacity to do this, particularly. But we've done some legal analysis, I think, that we're willing to share with the committee about why we think that there's a slight conflict because of what they do is that they're interested in one, making sure that people aren't stealing each other's oil, and then two, that they get the maximum amount of oil out of the ground. Their interest would be driving the royalty as low as possible because they're interested in getting the maximum oil out of the ground. Driving the royalty to zero, despite UNICAL's testimony somewhat to the contrary, isn't always in the best interest of the state, and that's why we think there's a conflict with the AOGCC.
Representative Pinkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a very philosophical question, which hasn't been, I don't recall the answer to. It's one of the things we're doing in this bill is we're covering these two subjects, you know, both the declining fields and new marginal fields, and I get very mixed up sometimes thinking of the different treatment. But just thinking of the new marginal field, something hasn't been developed yet, someone's coming in for a royalty reduction request, why wouldn't it be in the state's best interest just to reopen it for bidding, put it out to whoever wants it, and take their royalty reduction request as a bid? That's what they want it as, and if they, no one wants it at any better level, they get it.
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons for that. Some, if someone might bid higher, and the when you come in for a royalty reduction request, as you recall, we have to have a delineated field. To have a delineated field, there'll have to be seismic work. There has to be wells, at least one well. You could there's some thought that you might be out of one, but probably in several wells, millions and millions of dollars invested. That company would probably not be willing to share with someone who came in and overbid them in a rebid for the leases. So you're back almost to ground zero, and you've asked this company to spend all this money. Now maybe, you know, they turn around and sell that information to the new high bidder, and then whether that person comes in and asks for a royalty reduction, I don't know. But because of the three-pronged test we have, we don't think that, you know, not every oil field is going to be able to come in and get a reduction. I mean, there are some pretty high standards here. And we're asking the oil companies to have done a fair amount of work before they can even ask for such a reduction. So that's why I think it would not be in the state's best interest to just rebid the leases.
Mr. Chairman, didn't they make all those investments, though, with the assumption that they were going to play the existing royalty? I mean, it's basically a new game now. Something's fallen apart, either their finances or the market, and some new condition exists.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, well, several things, but one of the things that often falls apart and is the least predictable for anybody when they're bidding on a lease is the volume of oil that they're going to find. And, of course, sometimes it's zero. And a lot of, I think, what is going to drive these royalty reduction decisions is the volume piece of that pie. And no, there is really no way for the industry to know when they bid on the leases what volume of oil is there.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Is there anything else that you'd like to bring forward at this time before we open it to more questions? Or
I don't have.
Thank you. Just to take that last question and make it even more general, is there any way you could see reinserting any element of competitive bidding into this system? It's because, you know, it isn't such a abstract concept. Our whole system is built on it. Here we've got a provision that's, you know, rarely or never been used, it just seems to me as we move away from it, if there's any way to reinsert even a portion of it to get some sort of market test, it's going to help you, because you're going to be making some pretty tough decisions, right? I mean, every step along the way, you're not really going to know. You're going to have some proprietary information from industry. There'll be very little check on. You won't be able to compare it to the others necessarily. And I don't know how it could be done, but it just seems like there must be some way to get some market element back into this.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, I mean, I think one of the ways we look at the market is there is capacity within the department to look at what's going on in other fields, particularly other fields in the state, because we have all that information. So even when we use an independent contractor, once they come back to us with their analysis of the information, we're not just going to stop there. We will have people, and I think our Division of Oil and Gas has some exceptional people that look at that and say, well, you know, is field B really a lot like field A? And if so, you know, really, field A is doing fine. Why do we need to give a reduction in field B? So we do have the capacity to look at that part of the market.
Mr. Chairman, I just misstated a little bit. I didn't so much mean market analysis as I meant market competition, that side of the market. That is what our system runs on now, and I hate to lose it
Well.
To the degree we might be losing it.
Mr. Boyd thinks I'm not doing a very good job, so we're going to try to explain it.
I think, Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, I think we might be talking past each other a little bit. Commissioner Shively has talked about the requirement to delineate before you can apply. But there are preliminary steps. Let's say there's a lot of leases, and there's a lot of leases that have been leased. We have terms. The leases have a set term. On the West Slope, they're quite often 10 years. So the company really doesn't have to do anything for 10 years. But let's say it shoots some seismic, and it determines that, boy, this is just a dog. That's the market. I mean, that's where your concept comes in, I think. Whereas another field, they've shoot some seismic, some hope. They drill some wells. They begin to delineate. They go for the process. The market itself, you know, the price of oil is X. This structure looks too small. They give it back to the state, and we release it to the company that may wish to work it. Each company will have a different set of economics that may drive it to a particular place. And I think that is what you were getting at.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is very helpful. Absolutely, I think that works when we're going to sell some new leases, right? Because all these provisions are going to be part of law. People are going to realize they're going to have a chance for reduction later, so they might bid more. There might be more bonus bids. There might be higher royalties because they know someday down the line that if everything goes bad, they're going to have a chance to try to, you know, still get a shot at it at some lower level. So I think that's fine, but how about applying it to existing leases? I mean, the ones that are already in place, if someone's already made all those initial investments, they didn't have that assumption in mind. There wasn't any competition based on these new procedures. They got it under the understanding that, you know, this was their, this is the royalty they're going to operate under. And unless, you know, they can meet all
Well,
these
Mr. other Chairman, things. Let me take a crack at that, and then Mr. Boyd can correct me. I think that actually having this provision, probably at least in the bonus part of the bid, will drive the market up a little bit. And so that we have the, because it does change it. And so I think there's some potential advantages in the new lease sales because people may feel that they have a better opportunity to develop. We didn't have that as part of it, so you could almost argue that not having this has had somewhat of a negative effect on the market, as the way I would look at it.
Very good, thank you. In order to try to move along here quickly here and to get some response so we can help do some drafting here, just for the committee members, if anybody has to leave, we are scheduled to have a meeting at 5 o'clock tomorrow here, and we will. Hopefully, he can make it. If you can't, I understand. Yeah.
So, TJ,
But I would tend to take, if there would be any more industry testimony, try to take it at that time, and also maybe we can discuss any progress we will or will not have made on the CS draft. I would like to have some kind of just a draft to you, just a working draft, very rough, just to give you an idea of which way we're headed. And then we'll have to figure out our scheduling for next week. I want to move this bill next week, you know, but it may require us to meet maybe Monday or Tuesday to do it. I don't know. I mean, you know, to do that. So that's a decision we'll have to make today, but just to let you know. Quickly, if you were to go to the bill on page 3, line 5, the commissioner shall require the lessee requesting the reduction of royalty. Would it be appropriate to have lessee and or lessors? I mean, or lessees? I mean, the plurality of that. If you have more than two participating companies in a PA or a unit, should that be plural in there or something?
Yes. Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I don't see that as a substantive change, maybe just a paren S to recognize the singular or the plural.
Would that be appropriate? Just because
Legislative legal doesn't like paren S's.
I withdraw my.
Well, you don't have to. They're just lawyers.
Because that would be. And then we've had some discussion about the definition of field. You had some ideas, and you're going to provide those to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I believe I read into the record 2 days ago.
Okay, good. Okay, going on. And We've had some, today in particular, I'd like to get your opinion on the provision of 209, a two-year projected deal, and any differences we might want to look at in the bill, be trying to accommodate the older mature fields versus new fields. Any landmines here that we might want to speak to?
Mr. Chairman, if I might on that. I mean, I think Representative Green was right in saying that, as we all know, there's a difference between new marginal fields and older, abandoned, and declining fields. Very few fields are declining or ready to be abandoned after 2 years. So I don't think the two-year really gets us anywhere. I think for the marginal fields, we're really going to have to make the decision up front based on the best available information. And then on the marginal and or fields that have been abandoned, I mean, it's in the bill, and the 2 years doesn't really apply to those. I mean, nobody in this state is going to develop an oil field that they think they might shut down in 2 years.
Well, I think right now, in my opinion, by inserting the two-year requirement, obviates the necessity to go back to the whole historic record that's been brought up in testimony. If we stipulate the 2 years, it means that's all you have to do. You don't have to go back to
excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Years to
all right, I may have misunderstood your question. What you're saying is you only have to look at the last 2 years' data in order to make
production data
on a field that's about to be abandoned or shut
right.
in.
Right.
We don't have a position on that right now. I think that probably, though, in our mind, might be a little bit short in terms of a time frame. It's my initial reaction to that. But I understand the problem of asking people to go back to the beginning. It's one of the reasons, as I've explained before, that we took out this reasonable rate of return is to be, that's why we felt we had to go back in that one particular request, because the law stated we had to have a reasonable rate of return on the whole field. By taking that language out, we no longer are required to do that, so we wouldn't have to require all the information. If you're concerned about us requiring 30 years of information that might not be available, I think we're willing to accommodate that. We have not discussed how to do that.
Just on this question, I'm not sure I understand what the term production data means. I'd assume that there's two things. One is there's, you know, literally production data, which is how much was actually produced, you know, and what came out over what periods, versus economic data, their costs, and the various other things that go into your calculations. And it seems to me you'd want everything in production data, because the whole case is where is this thing going, right, in a couple of years. And but that the relief that the one company was after may have been more in their economic data. I suspect that they had their production data.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, I was using production data in the more general sense, not just
yeah,
the number of barrels produced.
Well, perhaps, Mr. Boyd, it's already in the existing statute, or was previously the two-year requirement? What?
The two-year requirement was for to be on production.
Right.
It didn't, to my knowledge, it didn't say anything about how much data you had to produce. You still had to produce the data that was necessary to make the decision.
Yeah,
but you physically
now?
Had to be on production for 2 years.
Right. Okay. Is that
you
what
had to be actually producing oil?
Okay. Is that in the existing statute or reg?
That was repealed in 1990.
It was repealed in 90. Do you recall why?
It was repealed for Conoco, because Conoco had not yet been on production for 2 years, and they were trying to give some relief to Conoco, and so they repealed that statute.
So if it was reinserted for the purposes we're driving at, it would. Do you see any problems with doing that? Or?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I see a big problem. We couldn't deal with marginal fields, because you're asking the marginal field to be in production for 2 years before we can make the decision. And, you know, I think what we've discussed here primarily is a system to allow marginal fields to come in and say, look, we can't produce unless we get this reduction.
So okay, then how do we deal with the problem with the historic data, then? We need to stipulate to that.
I think we dealt with it. I think we now have the we no longer are required, if you accept our language, to look at the total return on the field, which is what drove that decision to ask for all the historic data.
It's in the regulations right now.
Well, if it's
in 11AAC, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, what do you do about that?
Then we change.
Yeah, but the law drives the regulation, Mr. Chairman, and we have to use the data that has a clear and convincing showing the reduction meets the requirements of this subsection is the best interest of the state. We have the finding process. I don't believe.
But we have a historic record here where the prior director has added additional data based on the existing statute, existing regulations, and added in the application process additional hurdles to the company.
They'll be gone, though.
Will he be gone? I mean, is that not the case?
Just by law. Once the new law passes, any non-conforming regulations.
Well, I'm sure glad to hear that. Thank you. But it's still this, by getting rid of it then, this historic data problem would go away? Is that what you're suggesting? We don't need this.
Mr. Chairman, to the extent that the data was not necessary for the company to make a clear and convincing showing, it would be senseless to ask for data just for the sake of building a pile of paper in our office. It was never anybody's intent, and the piece of paper that was in the old Marathon or Texaco application actually cites two regulations. And the other piece of the regulation is a DNR requirement just for the way paper is submitted. And the other piece is the conforming regulation to the old law. Again, I believe, and I believe the commissioner believes, that these words, clear and convincing showing, to meet the requirement of subsection, best interest of the state, cures the silliness, I'll say, of requiring everything if you don't need it to make the decision.
And or do we need to stipulate? I give.
They just disappear by definition. They just.
And we go in and clean that up. I don't. I mean, I think we understand what.
We've talked about this. You know, that relationship between the statute and the regulations that was used in the past as a sword, and that's what I want to avoid.
I understand.
And the regulations exist right there. I mean, are we supposed to be quiet on those, or can't we clean them up, or what?
Well, the executive branch cleans up regulations. I commit to you, Mr. Chairman, that I will clean that up if this law passes. And I believe the law supersedes it anyway, so I don't think it has to be, but we will do that, because it doesn't make...
Are you going to assure us that you have that done in 60 days after...
Mr. Chairman, I will not assure you anything happens in 60 days in government.
That was just a question.
I will do it as expeditiously as possible.
Okay, the... And in the appealability situation, we requested that legal opinion, that's forthcoming, is that correct? Is that correct, just to make sure we're all on the same page there?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
The appealability thing, adding the applicant, and then you're going to provide us with an opinion, a lawyer's opinion on that, is that, and the due process relationships?
Yes.
That's forthcoming?
Mr. Chairman, you may not have seen it yet, but I provided to your staff this morning an opinion on non-appealability clause.
Okay.
It is not an AG's opinion. It is an opinion of an assistant AG. And we can discuss this further, but it is his opinion. I'll not cite it here until you have had a chance to read it.
Well, I want to make sure it's clear in the record is all, and that we've discussed this. I mean, we don't need to go into it now.
I'll just read the first bullet, perhaps, for the record, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, go right ahead.
It says the non-appealability clause does not give DNR license to make arbitrary, capricious, manifestly unreasonable, or unconstitutional decisions.
Oh, okay.
And it goes on from there.
So the outside third party will be able to bring a cause of action under due process.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the way the bill is written now, it saves us from minor procedural errors and things that would be leapt upon by parties that just did not want to see this happen at all, but it provides for substantive issues to be brought before the court.
And we were going to insert the applicant in the language. Is that where we ended up, or are we...
No, I don't think we need to do that.
Okay, we don't. Is that... We don't do that then? Is that...
I think so. I think everybody should be on an equal footing. There's no sense to have them on a different footing than anyone else. They're the ones that have most at stake. And if we have a review clause, which I think we've agreed to, then actually that section is going to change anyway.
Okay. Very good. And if we... If we refresh my memory, have we discussed have we removed Section 1, reinserting a floor on new fields and not a floor on old fields? Do you have an opinion on that? Example 25%?
We have not had a chance, Mr. Chairman, to have an opinion on going to zero on old fields. We have agreed with you on your floor which applied to everything.
Defined an old field and went to zero on that. Would you give us some feedback on that?
I will give you some feedback. We do not have a position at this time.
Okay. Any further questions? Well, thank you very much. We will be meeting at 5:00 tomorrow right here. Take further industry testimony. Hopefully we'll have I'm not going to promise a draft, but we're going to hopefully try to get it cleaned up so we have something this weekend. This committee stands adjourned at 12:24. Thank you very much.
I'm going to run down and get a sandwich.
You were concerned about the data that...
Okay.